Hey, this is Peter Luis Zimmerman, Eduardo from The Walking Dead. I want to give a huge shout out to Two Dead Chicks for having me on this season. You guys were so much fun to talk to. I wish you all the most success in the future. Thank you.
You're listening to the Two Dead Chicks podcast. I'm Melissa.
Hey there, I'm Kia.
And today we're here to talk about Season 9, Episode 3, Warning Signs. But before we get into all that, just a reminder, you can find us on all the socials, except for Snapchat, because we don't know her. We are Two Dead Chicks on Tumblr, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And you can find our podcast pretty much anywhere you can find your podcasts. We are on Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and of course, Apple Podcasts. And while you're there, leave us a rating and let us know what you think. We always love to hear your feedback. And speaking of that, Kia, I feel like people heard your cry last week for reviews. And we had a couple new ones, so this is super cool. From Katana Quest, they say, I love listening to your podcast while I'm driving because I normally end up laughing so much I forget about the traffic. I love that you seem to genuinely care about the characters and you actually know them well. You're both hilarious and focus on the ships as much as the action. You also always highlight what Michonne is doing and how awesome she is, which I find lacking in other podcasts, recaps, and reviews. And can I just talk about Michonne? You always point out their amazing relationship. Yeah, the bittersweet is that this is your last season. Sorry to see you go. Keep us posted on what is next. And from Squirrel Girl. I wonder if there's any relation to the father of squirrels. What do you think?
I don't know, but any Daryl lover that loves us, you are a rock star.
I mean, for real,
if
though.
You are a Daryl lover.
Yes.
I don't know.
We don't know.
Just like squirrels.
You never know. Much like the subject header, which is an honest, real discussion, by the way. Kia and Melissa keep it real in their weekly review of The Walking Dead. I've been a fan of the series since day one and of the comics for even longer. And many podcasts tend to have bias in their opinion, especially because of sponsorship. But TDC actually discusses what's happening, good or bad, with this tumultuous television production. I'm bummed that this is their final season, but I get it. Ladies, you've been great. Rick Grimes / Michonne forever. Forever! It's like our battle cry. Forever!
Michonne. Nobody's paying us.
Nope. Ain't nobody doing that. So this is the real right here. This is it. So that was super cool. And guys, just a reminder, during the week and of course during the episodes, use our hashtag, not to be confused with hashtag, TDC pod, and we can keep our conversation going all throughout the week and after the episode airs, or if you just, whenever you feel like it, you can just drop us a line at twodeadchicks@gmail.com and let us know what's on your mind about the episode, or, you know, just life, whatever, you know, we're here for you. So yeah,
we'll be there for you
when the rain starts to pour. We'll sing to you too. I mean, you just never know with us.
Yeah.
So,
well, what'd you think about Coldplay's Warning Signs? That's immediately what I thought of when I saw the title. I was like, Coldplay.
I did not think about that, but that's a very good point. You know, I mean, I liked it.
Uh-oh.
See, okay, here's my thing. I think I just, based on some things I had heard, I was expecting more of the Michonne moments. Like, I thought we were going to get more of that. And I was like, oh, so that was really, y'all were done at that point. Oh, wait, what? Because, like, I just kept expecting them to come back together, like, by the end of the episode, and there was going to be more of, you know, us building the future. And I was ready for that. And I was here to see it with my popcorn and my wine. And I was really ready and I was in the mood. And then I got left hanging, man. And like, wait, hold on. So Yeah. So I mean, and I loved what we got. Don't get me wrong. Completely not ungrateful. And I loved it. I loved that so much. And I loved Grimes Family Day. But then I just kept thinking we were going back. So admittedly, the rest of the episode was like, womp, womp, you know, comparatively. What did you think?
I have stopped listening to people because I don't know what they see, and we have come up against this a few times where they see something and then maybe it's a different interpretation, or maybe they did see it and then, you know, we didn't. So I'm just like, I don't care anymore. I guess I didn't expect any more than what we got. I did watch it through AMC Premiere.
Okay.
So I skipped after the Grimes Family Day. I skipped the entire episode. Like, I was looking through the rest of the episode to see if there was anything else.
Yeah.
And there wasn't. So I just came back and went and watched those, I don't know. It was probably like 10 minutes. I watched that for an hour, a full hour.
It was so good.
I was like, I guess I'll watch the rest of the episode.
I mean, did anything else happen though? I mean,
you know, I liked the episode. I really did.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good, and I'm a little conflicted about this, but I did think the episode itself was good outside of the Rochonne stuff.
No, and it was.
I feel like you can feel the story moving to a actual point, to a place.
Yes.
Instead of just watching episodes air.
Yes.
Like, that's what we've been doing. And now I'm just like, oh, I see a story.
Absolutely.
And so it's tighter than what it's been. I was going to say it's really tight. And I was like, well, comparatively. So,
yes,
I love the whole reveal about who was capturing the saviors and stuff. That made sense as far as Oceanside has the least allegiance to Rick. They experienced their own traumas prior to even know who Rick was, because really, like, Hilltop and the Kingdom and Alexandria, I mean, they all experienced the traumas all within kind of like the same period. But Oceanside has been over there stewing for who knows how long.
Yeah.
And then Rick stole all their guns. So
yep.
It's like, I mean, they're like, yeah, you cool or whatever, but you're not my leader.
Yep.
So it to me, it makes sense that they would be, you know, quote unquote traitors.
Yes.
What doesn't make sense, and what I was surprised by was my reaction to Maggie and Daryl, because I was like, I feel like I felt my reaction on behalf of Rick. Like, I was like hurt by what they did. I was like, I cannot believe you guys.
Yeah.
Like, that to me, like, when I think about all the stuff Rick has gone through to, you know, like, he took that burden of leadership. He stepped in when no one else did. No one else steps in but Rick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Maggie clearly has now. But we were season upon season upon season of what to do. What do we do, Rick? Rick, what's going on, you know? And he did that. And, you know, he took the blame for group decisions, and like, people were bitching with no solutions, and they still are, honestly. Like, what is your solution? You don't like what he's doing, but what do you want to do?
Right.
Other than just kill Negan, I guess. I mean, then what? Like, and so for Maggie and Daryl to know, like, to see for themselves the situation, like, this whole thing is like a tightrope walk that Rick is on. And for them to see what Oceanside is doing and not report back, not try to stop anything, honestly, it kind of amounts to sabotage to me.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, people are looking to Rick to guide this. You know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't. People are going to be looking at him like, you're okay, you're just letting us get killed. You don't, you know, what are, why are we listening to you? The saviors are dangerous. Like, he's being put in a dangerous, vulnerable position.
Yep, he sure is.
And I'm like, because of Maggie and Daryl. And I was like, I cannot believe it. Like, if what they do has anything to do with what happens to Rick, I'm going to be so mad. I'm going to be so mad.
And I can't help but to think that it does.
See?
That's where my head was. So, yeah, I fully agree with you. I do have to add that, I mean, aside from the obvious of the episode, what was so great about it, Sydney Park and Elizabeth Ludlow, hey, girls, y'all kicked some ass. Oh, my God. They were amazing.
Mm. Yeah, I did like the performances.
Wow.
And I was just like, oh, Elizabeth, she was our first.
I know. I'm like, podcast BFF, hey, girl.
I know.
Oh.
I'm trying not to harp on it, but I am still frustrated by the timeline. And it's just, honestly, with stuff like this, like what I said with, you know, Maggie and Daryl, 19 months, you've been holding on to this.
Exactly.
And it's just like, this is Rick, and I can't believe you did this. And it seems so easy to fix. Like, just don't make it a year and a half. Just make it, I mean, because we're like, oh, 6 months. It seems like 6-9 months, something like that. Something under a year where you're finished, like, helping the sanctuary rebuild, like, because that's where we left them. You know, they didn't have any glass and stuff like that. So
right.
They were helping the sanctuary really build their structure. That doesn't take a year and a half.
No.
Then what?
Well, and also, in light of what just happened with Maggie and Daryl, and I'm really looking harder, I feel like, for some reason, at Maggie about this, but, you know.
Yeah, because Daryl,
well, we all know he has the emotional maturity of an orange, but.
Right.
With Maggie, I feel like, based on her reaction with what happened with Negan and all that emotion. Girl, you mean you didn't have shit to say before now? You mean you didn't go up to Rick and say, yo, I have a problem with this. This man killed my husband. We're going to kill him. Okay?
Right.
Or we're going to do something. We need to talk about what is the plan. How do we handle people like this in the future? Whatever. You mean to tell me this did not come up one time?
Right.
This is bullshit.
Yeah. And, you know, we extol the virtues of Maggie being this great leader and all this stuff, but I'm just looking at you like, I can't with the fact that you put Rick in this situation, even after saying Rick was right. That was the thing.
Yes, I agree. Exactly. Especially after saying that. And regardless of how mad you are, you have to know. You have to know. There has to be some inkling that this could backfire. And the fact that you're willingly putting him in that situation is bothersome.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know if this is like a hole in the writing or whatever, or like, you know, because, again, I don't feel like the fact, I don't think that she, Maggie, would have actually waited this long to have this discussion regardless. So that's my problem with it, number one. But then number two, this thing, I just don't believe that of her and of their relationship. I just don't. So it doesn't ring true for me. I just, I think this is where just, you know, I mean, they can only do so much, but at the same time, like, this doesn't seem like that hard of a fix. I don't really know.
Exactly. Why did it have to be so long? Just don't make it as long.
That, right.
So. Ugh. So, yeah, that, like I said, I was surprised by my actual, like, I'm clearly, like, level 89 Rick Grimes stan, because I'm like, how dare you, Maggie?
Yeah.
So ungrateful.
Also, on a completely separate note, I'm also like, Arat, you did kind of have it coming, girl, like, a little bit, just saying. I mean, RIP Olivia, but, and everybody else, but, yes, completely
you're
separate.
Right. It's complicated.
It is.
Complicated, and you know, I believe that Oceanside, quote unquote, had the right, but at the same time, you can't do that if you're trying to be a part of this society.
And it, so right, and it's more of a they have a right to be a part of making the decisions on how people would be held accountable for their actions.
Right.
Yes, they did. Everybody did.
Right. Right.
And yeah, I'm a big believer of the whole two wrongs don't make a right thing. Yeah. Sure, Rick shouldn't have necessarily made the decision about Negan just on his own or whatever and decided, okay, this is what's going to happen. Sorry, Maggie, you just have to deal. You know, yes, I definitely think other people should have been involved in that, but you can't just go all willy-nilly and pull a Daryl and just act out.
Right. That's where I was coming from. And also, I feel like it's coming down. Like, it's coming. It's two more episodes. And I feel like I'm freaking out. Like, I feel like I'm taking, like, crazy pills because the weeks just keep going. The weeks don't stop.
No. Like, it's coming real quick.
I know. Like, and I knew it was going to come quick from, I mean, I knew it was going to come quick, but it just seems like it came quicker than I thought.
I know.
For some reason, these weeks just are like, boom.
It really did.
I was like, hold on, wait.
And then they just keep rubbing it in our damn face. Like, bitch, I know there's only two more. I've been counting this since summertime. Right. What you trying to tell me for? Shut up. That's rude as hell.
It really is. So yeah, I'm like, I'm taking crazy pills. I was like, no, stop. So I am interested to see what my reaction will be in the first Sunday of November, because I really don't know.
I don't want to think about it.
I feel like I could actually just like shut down, go crazy. I really don't know. It just depends on what happens, but I am just like, this is a little dangerous.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely freaking out. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to do. I just don't feel like it's fully sunk in either. Like, I don't know, because I just can't. I literally physically cannot picture the show without Andrew Lincoln. I literally cannot picture it. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't feel right. Nothing about it feels right. So I don't know. I guess, like, I'm just like hoping against all hope, which I know is not true. I know that's not true, but that he's just gonna be like, okay, JK, I'm staying. Oh, good. Oh, okay. Not going to happen, but I wish.
Yeah. So we'll see. Like, I feel like that, this whole thing has been coloring my viewing of this episode. I'm like, he's about to leave and you betrayed him.
Yeah. And I really hope that, oh man, if this has to do with their dumb asses, I swear to God. Or Anne Jadis's dumb ass either.
Oh yeah.
I swear I hate her so much with the fire of a thousand suns. I hate that woman. Ooh.
We were never fooled.
No.
We were never fooled.
No, we were not, Anne with an E. Poser.
Let's see. Sorry, we're getting tweets and I'm like, what's happening? Okay. I'm ignoring that. Cheryl, if this is you, this is you distracting me.
What's she saying about Daryl? Cheryl, we told you. JK, we love you.
So this episode starts at a currently unknown location, but one that will reveal its significance soon. There are many traffic warning signs, signposts, that zombies just amble over on their way to eat something, someone, we don't know. Turns out to be a someone, and that someone is asshole Justin.
Bradley Cooper saver.
Oh, yeah.
R.I.P.
I still have not seen that movie.
Ugh. So like, good.
The weekend it came out, I was in New York.
Yeah.
And then
clearly bigger the next weekend.
Then the next weekend, I was sick and I was just in bed. And then this weekend, I was watching Daredevil the entire third season, which was amazing. Next weekend I'll be in Atlanta. Hey, next weekend I'll be in Atlanta, Walker Stalker, guys.
That's right.
If you didn't know, come say hi.
Yeah.
You can tweet us and we'll do something. But yeah, I'll be there Saturday and a little bit on Sunday. But yeah, it's just not working out.
I will not be there. But, you know, you're welcome to FaceTime me in at any point. I can just say, hi. Sorry I'm not there. Love you guys. Bye.
Yeah. So this A Star Was Born is not working out for me.
It may be out for a while, though. So, you know,
probably
if
will.
You want to go see it, I will go see it with you because I want to see it again.
That's fine. Yeah, I just usually see it sooner.
And oh, yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's not happening. Yeah. Bradley Cooper, Black Sails, he is dead. And not only dead, he has suffered from a puncture wound either before or after he died, but probably after. It's probably what killed him. As we find out later, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't care about this. I assumed he died.
Yeah, I did too.
In Alexandria.
Yes.
Rick's putting on his boots, getting ready for the day in a bedroom that is definitely not the one we know as his bedroom from earlier Alexandria seasons.
Mm-mm.
So they have moved. For starters, this one has a mattress, so I know it's different.
Yeah.
How do you get new mattresses in the zombie apocalypse?
I guess you're just, well, unless they're making them at any point, which is possible. I'm guessing they're just scavenging them.
Yeah. Or maybe the saviors didn't take them all. Maybe just took, who knows? I just know that would be one of the first things. I'd be like, I can't be sleeping on this floor.
Oh, what's hell happening? No.
Michonne, as soon as Rick gets out of the bed, Michonne tosses, and so he comes back over, gives her a kiss on her shoulder. How would you describe that?
Tender and loving and sensual. Shall I go on?
Yes, please. Don't use magical.
I will not use magical. Though I felt like I had been like bewitched by it. It was just romantic. And I just like, I don't know. I'm like, how did a shoulder kiss just change my whole life just now? How did that just happen? But it did, right? Like,
yeah. Oh,
God.
It was pretty beautiful.
Oh.
And it was just enough. I'm just like, oh my gosh.
But it's also,
he loves her so much.
Yes. And it's just like the way, like, not just the kiss itself, but the way he looked at her, the way, like, just the whole thing.
So he gives her that kiss on the shoulder and he leaves their room, walks past Judith's room. He hears her cough. So he comes in and checks on her and she looks adorable.
Oh my God.
Just her hair is just all over and they're just little cute little lips. I was like, oh my God, these twins are adorable.
They are literally the cutest children I've ever seen.
We've been so blessed to have them since season 6.
Oh my God, they're so cute. Okay, how old is she?
I think the twins are like 4.
Okay.
I don't know how old Judith is.
Well, I really meant more how old is, well, she's supposed to be. But I've literally never seen a 4-year-old that well behaved in my entire life. Ever.
What, to pretend to be asleep? She looked asleep. She did look asleep.
Just in general, throughout the whole thing where she was, she's just so like mild mannered and just like the sweetest thing. And I'm like, how?
No, you're not just... according to Chandler. Chandler is like, those two are a pain in the butt. At FanFest Nashville,
oh, that's hilarious.
He went into like this extended diatribe.
What?
And he was like, they are such a pain to shoot with. They're always just running around and screaming. And
that makes me feel a little better, actually. Because I'm like, are there really perfect children like that? I don't understand. How did that happen?
No. Like his mom, Chandler's, because he did a panel with his mom because it was Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
His mom had to cut him off. Like, okay, Chandler, stop Stop talking about these babies.
But they do. Like, they seem so just, like, they're very just mild-mannered, soft-spoken, just little precious little angel babies. I'm like, what? Yeah. How do you get one of those? What? You don't.
Not quite. This is the magic of television.
Editing and television.
Yeah. So Rick finally makes his way out of the house, but not before he puts his hand on Carl's handprint on the deck, on the pieces of the deck that they salvaged from their old place.
I know.
He walks out of their brownstone, and it's just, he looks like he's just like on top of the world. Everything's really good for him right now. And he goes right into the community garden. It's flourishing. It seems like it has a lot of flowers. Mm-hmm. I'm like, where's the food? How y'all supposed to eat them? But there's a lot of green stuff, whatever it is. And he just is walking through. He bends down, like eats a leaf or something. And then he sees this perfectly ripe tomato and he takes it off the vine and he puts it next to Carl's memorial, because we all know he was famously fond of tomatoes. Mm-hmm. I guess I was like, you gonna take the one, Rick? What are people supposed to eat?
Exactly. It's like, I mean, I appreciate the gesture and all, but I feel like he'd be like, you know what, maybe you should give those to the people that are still alive.
Just wait till there's more than one.
Right. But also, you know, who knows what death dream Carl would have done. You know, maybe he would have been like, bring me all the tomatoes, Dad. It's my dream.
I got to make tomatoes. This is for pizza. Friday night pizza. Bring me them tomatoes.
I'm up here making pizza. No, we're making spaghetti. Shoot. Oh, Lordy. Yeah.
So Rick comes back home, finds Michonne still in bed, but she's up now and she's surrounded by her books and her notepad. She says she didn't sleep well as he joins her on the bed. And she then notices a spot on her arm that she quickly wipes off before Rick can see. And I wondered what that was, but I mean, we'll see next week if you guys haven't seen like the opening minutes of the next episode.
Luckily I was able to see that last night, the opening scene.
So I don't know if you want to be spoiled or not, it's out there. I think it's on our Twitter.
Yeah,
so
it is.
If you want to see it, then it's out there. But it also, like I said, it's revealed next week. So Rick's talking, he's like heaping on this encouragement and the praise on her. He's like, you'll have this charter settled in no time, this charter thing. I did like that. Just not even a charter. You got this charter thing down. He's like, you'll have this squared away in no time. And it's so good that you're the one leading Alexandria. It's just you, not even me. I'm just inconsequential. I don't even matter. It's all about you, Michonne. And he takes none of the credit. I was like, okay, I like
it. I'm definitely here for that.
Right. She brings up Judith's cough, and they agree to take her to Sadiq, give her a family fun day as a reward. Rick decides he's going to play hooky from the bridge, since last he heard everything was good, and Maggie was on her way there now, so she can just take over. Michonne kind of makes a face, and she warns that even though Maggie is trying, she and Daryl and maybe others are still angry. And Michonne just really wants this whole thing to work. Rick is sure it will. Everyone just needs time to get there like they did. And I was like, I don't know, Rick. I don't know about all that. I don't think the rest of them got a letter from Carl to jumpstart their benevolence.
Well, I don't know what their letters from Carl said. I don't know what Maggie's letter said. But I feel like we need to take some notes on that. Max,
did she even get one?
I assume she did. I don't know. I mean, if Negan got one and she didn't, maybe that's why she's pissed. She's like, that little bitch didn't even write me a letter.
So I Rick's being super naive here. What do you think about it?
I don't know. Again, I don't really know that I feel that that would be... I just don't feel like that would be accurate. I just can't imagine that you are so far removed from reality that you ain't seen these tensions that have apparently been building up for 18,000 years now. It feels like 18,000 years. But, like, I mean, 18 months. Like, again, I don't buy this timeline. I don't get it.
And so do you think it has been building up for 18 months?
I mean, allegedly. I don't know. I still think it doesn't make sense.
I mean, I don't think it makes sense if it has, but I feel like I don't know if we've been told in story that it's been happening for 18 months. We've just been kind of plopped in here now. Right. I know what's happening now, but I don't know what's been happening before. But I mean, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if it hasn't been building up, what made it switch? What turned the switch on? And I don't feel like we've seen anything that would have done that.
Okay. No, you're right. I think you're right. I think it is weird to have him, like you said, be so far removed from actual reality. Like, it's one thing to hope and really believe in it, but I don't. I mean, again, I guess this is. I guess, like I said last week, this is him putting into action what he thinks will bring everybody together. Is this bridge?
And at this,
I mean, he did say it. He did say it.
No, but at this point too, I mean, he has now had at least some conversation with Daryl, with Maggie. So, like, you know that some people are not feeling this whole situation. I just don't feel like he'd be quite so, as you said, naive. I just don't.
Well, is that the second part? You know, the charter? Is that what he's counting on? Like, okay, everybody, not everybody, but people are coming together with this bridge thing. And then once we do the charter, there'll be more buy-in. Is that
possibly?
Is that what you think he's relying on?
Possibly. But again, with that, like, do you think that he, I guess I don't entirely understand how this charter is going to work. Like, at what point do they kind of come together to maybe add in things from the various communities? Like where other leaders are also involved in that.
I don't know. My assumption is Michonne's coming up with the skeleton of it.
Okay.
Now, and it's not going to be like, this is it. Here's the charter. Deal with it. My assumption is she's coming up with, you know, kind of how she thinks it should be structured. And then, you know, everyone talks about it and figures out what they want to do. That was my assumption.
Okay. That makes sense.
Well, our babies.
I know.
They're trying.
They really are. And I think naive is one thing, but, like, I think it's totally fine for him to be optimistic and hopeful. And I like that about him. I like that he's back to that point in his life where he can see that. Because, I mean, there's been a lot of moments where he didn't see it, you know? Right. And so it feels good. That feels really good to me. But,
okay, well, am I misnaming it? Do you think it is just being optimistic?
No, I think there's some naivety in there too. I think it's both. Okay. I really do. I think there's both, and I definitely am here for that hopefulness and stuff, but I do feel like there's definitely some naivety there where he just feels like everybody's just gonna just jump on board so easily, and I just don't think that's realistic, and I don't think he would really truly think that that's realistic either.
Okay, well, maybe it's just basking in the glow of love, because
I'm fine with that also.
He's just looking at her with, like, the most extreme of heart eyes, and he thanks her for everything she's done, everything she's doing, just for existing. Yep. And I was like, that's right. And I love that this is the second time that we've seen them. You know, this is the second Rashawn scene in this season. This is the second time he's just like, you're amazing. Thank you so much. And I was like, yes, yes, she is. And Rick is like the only one who appreciates Michonne and what she gives to him and to everyone. I feel like he is the only one that really truly sees what she does. And I think Michonne is the only one that really, like, truly appreciates Rick. Like, she knows what he goes through. And I think part of that is maybe just a result of them being in a relationship and even before that being so close. But I also love that they really encourage each other in their partnership. And if no one else does, they do.
Yes, for sure.
I think that's really beautiful.
Yes, I agree. 100%.
Also, Rick looks so good here. Like, the shirt sleeves just like pushed up to the right level. The like shirt is unbuttoned to the correct depth. I was like, oh my God.
I feel like whoever made those decisions has listened to us before. I just do. I'm like, yeah, okay.
It just should have been a blue. It just should have been like a denim shirt. That's the only thing that would have made.
They missed
like,
that episode.
Like,
we talked about that.
Like, put Rick in blue, and the denim shirt has a special meaning. But I mean, I can't complain. I can't really complain about this look either. So, after he's like, "You're just wonderful," just the fact that you exist really makes me happy. And so they kiss, and when she tries to get back to work, he's like, "All right, nerd, you didn't get the hint. Why don't you take a break?" And he just like tosses her books off the bed, and finally, magnificently, takes her pencil and flicks it across the room.
Lord have mercy.
I was like, this pencil flick replaces Peter Kavinsky's splash of hot tub water as far as something that we're just, I'm just like, oh, it's just a totally like innocent thing that somehow became the hottest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Super sexy. I don't just, even
just
know.
Just flick it. Oh, okay. That's what we're doing? Flicking pencils? Cool. So she's like laughing and she's like, you want me to stop creating the foundations of a new civilization? And he's like, exactly wrong. I am trying to put the foundation of a new civilization in you right now. And she climbs into his lap like, what? Trying to gauge how serious he is about this. Very serious.
He's super serious.
The way he whispers, because she asks, yeah, and the way he whispers, yeah, back, I was like, it's just,
we're all already pregnant. So, be a lot of babies in 9 months.
Oh, gosh.
Rick is the father of all of them.
Yeah. And so, yeah, she agrees. And then they get down to baby making in a scene that I'm sure had much more good
Why
stuff
the fuck?
That was cut out.
Why the fuck? I'm sure Why could y'all not show us this? He's got 2 more fucking episodes and you can't give us this? I am so offended. I was so salty. And that's why I kept expecting we were going to come back to this. Like, okay, cool, Maggie. Okay, cool, Gabriel, Anne, and Jersey Shore, and everybody else. Cool, but we coming back to this moment, right? No. No, we ain't.
No.
I was so salty.
Yeah. Yeah, you were.
I was really feeling that moment. Like, oh, yeah. Rebuild society. This is important shit. This is the quality content I signed up for.
Yep.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
Shot take down.
Give you. So, like I said before, this is the second Rashawn scene this season. Second time Rick couldn't help but blurt out thank you to her. Directly after which, this is the second time she, you know, they had some sexy times when she was on top. But I was like, is this a pattern?
Kind of seems like it.
I know.
I'm fine with it.
She just hears that. She hears that thank you. She's like, I can't help it. I'm like, you know what? Good for you, Rick.
Right.
Good for you for figuring that out. I like it. So baby talk. Do you think this is realistic as far as Rick and Michonne? Rick and Michonne's characters?
I mean, I hope so. I just know that there's not much longer left. So I'm like, how much baby making they gonna get to do? Was that it? I hope that wasn't it.
But do you think that it would be realistic for Rick and Michonne to think about making, to think about having a kid?
Well, yes, okay. Of course. Oh, I'm so here for it. That baby, we will protect that baby with at all costs.
I think it's realistic too. I mean, like many people have said, Rick is a family man.
Yes. I mean, and that's what makes sense. And truthfully, that is how you rebuild. That's it. You procreate. You have future generations. You don't want to just go extinct. So, yeah, we got to have people making babies. And while we're at making babies, why would we not have the two most perfect individuals on the planet to make babies? Yes.
No, I mean, I get our excitement about it, but I'm just talking about like organically to the characters. And I do think, I mean, because other people can have babies. It doesn't necessarily have to be them. They could be very focused on the one.
But I say,
have,
why not? Why wouldn't they? I feel like they're very much at that point in their relationship. I still am a little salty about that ring situation, as I may have mentioned last week. Yeah, I kind of was like, oh, thank you. A ring would be wonderful if you wanted to give her one right now. If you want to just pull that out of your back pocket, sir, you could do that.
Yeah. Mm-mm. I also think this is the only thing where the timing makes sense. Yeah. A year and a half.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
Perfect.
To think about, you know, and you got this pretty, it's a little uneasy, but it's an alliance, and you know, you're working towards this, you know, bridge and crap, and you're right on the cusp. So why not? I think that makes sense as far as the timing. And like I said, I think it makes sense as far as Rick and Michonne characters to want to have a kid.
Absolutely. I think she's the love of his life. Mm-hmm. And he knows that, you know, and I mean, I feel like he's, you know, putting that out there. And why wouldn't he want to have a baby with her? 100%. Yes, ma'am.
Yep. So that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I just really like that we had that confirmation that he wanted that with her. He wants that with her. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty beautiful. Mm-hmm. On the road to the bridge, Maggie and Cal. I think this is Cal. I don't assume.
It seemed like Cal, but also he looks different.
He does look a little different. But I feel like I didn't. Did he have that mustache before?
I feel like that must be it, because I don't think he did.
Well, we're about to see. Maybe he did. Just something looked different about him.
Something's
and
different.
I was like, I don't want to say all Asians are the same, but I feel like it was Cal, because I feel like there aren't that many in Hilltop.
No.
From The Walking Dead.
Yeah, no, I definitely took it that it was Cal.
Okay. Yeah, no, he did not have that mustache before.
Okay.
Okay. I feel like that should have thrown us off that much, but
well.
That's funny. Who is that, man? Oh, okay.
I love it.
I guess I was looking for Eduardo too. Maybe that's why. It's always Cal and Eduardo.
They're like a package deal.
Yeah.
It's two for one.
Yeah, I don't know where our buddy Peter Zimmerman is, but he is not here. So Maggie and Cal are going to the bridge, and they run across some saviors wandering around unsupervised, looking suspicious as hell, including Arat, barcode, haircut, and some dude named Jed, who gives off typical savior vibes.
Yep.
Maggie's like, where are your papers? What are you doing out here? And they're like, we're looking for our friend. He disappeared. We're trying to find him before our shift starts. And Jed is still behaving like a predator, just like creeping on her, like, what you got in the back there, Maggie? And it's a whole like stack of tomatoes. And I was like, Maggie didn't have to stunt on Alexandria like that. She's like, you got one. I got the rest.
That's exactly what happened. Alexandria got one whole tomato plant. That's it.
But she says this is the food I promised y'all, even though I didn't get my gas. And she's like, they're like, yeah, we can't find those people either. And meanwhile, Jed is just like chomping on this tomato like it's an apple, like he's a psychopath, like just, I guess this is happening in the zombie apocalypse. You just do eat stuff like it's apples. Even when somebody eating a cucumber last season, just walking around with a cucumber like a banana, I
don't know.
I can't. I feel like I remember a cucumber, and I was like, "That's weird." So is this tomato? But
definitely,
yeah. As he's eating that, she's like, "What's your name? I'm marking you down for that." And Barco tries to de-escalate the situation. She's like, "Yeah, that's Jed. Sorry about that. Thanks for the food. We're gonna make this right. We're gonna get that ethanol as soon as we can. Okay, see you later. We gotta try to find him." So Maggie and Cal continue, and they stop almost immediately when they come across a walker, which we find out later is asshole savior Justin.
Dun dun dun.
Right. Then we go back to Alexandria, and because the show is an asshole, it gives us a montage of Family Fun Day set to some like folksy acoustic song. Mm-hmm. Like this is it's an indie movie. Mm-hmm. Like I was sitting there watching this like, what? How dare you? I was equal parts enchanted and indignant. Like, I can't believe you're doing this to me right now.
I know.
This song is called All We Ever Wanted. And I'm like, fuck you, know you, Walking what? Dead.
They kiss my ass. I swear. I didn't know that. I didn't look at that. I am real glad I didn't. I would have been angry tweeting the rest of the night.
Yeah. What? It's called All We Ever Wanted. And the lyrics are like, all we ever wanted was everything, and all we ever got was cold. And I was like, ugh.
Fuck these bitches. I swear. Like, I hate you. Because this is all we ever wanted. And now,
exactly. Exactly.
They are murderers of dreams. I'm so angry. What?
Yeah.
I hate them so
I was
much.
Mad too. I was like, you just gonna do that?
Who made this decision?
You just gonna do that to me?
Who did? Angela Kang, is that you? I'm about to, girl, we need to have a word. We need to go out back. I'm about to take my earrings off.
Mm-hmm. Now that's your boy, it's probably your boy Bear. Like, he's the musical supervisor. He out here like, this is perfect.
I hate it.
You, Bear.
Fuck him indeed. Oh my God.
And this whole show. But yes, like I said, this... It's like I just felt like I was watching an indie movie. I feel like I was watching Away We Go or something. Oh, and
man,
so this montage starts with Sadiq and Rick doing this exaggerated, silly exam to get Judy comfortable, which she does because she starts laughing at them.
Oh my God. And also, side note, Sadiq, so
cute.
Yes. I was like, oh my God, I can't handle the two of them in the same scene together looking this cute. I can't do it.
I know. And like, just stop. Pandering to this little girl.
Sweet. Wow. I wasn't prepared for that. And yeah, man. There's an ovary explosion for you. I'm like, whoa. Okay.
Exactly.
Hold on. And now with this damn song, you know what? Fuck you guys so much.
Exactly.
Fuck you very much.
Exactly. So after this, after Judy starts giggling, we see Rick and Michonne and Judith walking along in Alexandria with Judith swinging between Rick and Michonne. Then we see Michonne and Judith, quote unquote, hiding from Rick just bursting with laughter as he comes and sweeps Judith off. And all you hear are her peals of laughter as he's just like tossing her up in the air. He's like, I gotcha. I was like, Jesus.
I don't know. Have you ever wanted to be a child so bad?
I don't even want to be it. That's the thing. Like, I just want to watch it. Like, it's so precious.
It was
like,
so cute.
just to watch. Like, I just want to be there. Like, oh my God.
But also, yeah, he can throw me up and down if he wants to. I'm just saying, I would be fine
he
with that.
He can throw you up and down if he wants sure. to. I am fine with just watching the baby because it was precious.
Like, it was so cute. It was
just like, just to be just like, just seeing him be just like this involved dad is like a turn on. Like, mm-hmm. so I'm like, yeah, you, mm-hmm. he's just, just went for it. So then we see Rick and Judith having a crawling
race.
Oh
my God, that was my favorite. That
Rick throws it. She wins. Michonne and Judith are having a stick fight outside. She's very serious about her stick fight. That little girl was coming.
Yes, she was.
For Danai. She was like, she was all wild.
Yeah, she was.
Like, ooh, you better watch out, girl. And then they have a picnic by the pond where Judith gives, you see Judith giving Rick this flower, and then he immediately like turns to give it to Michonne, and I was like, what? I hate everybody.
Yep.
I hate everybody and everything. Why?
I love that shot. It was so beautiful. Yes. Oh.
Yeah. And why couldn't you just give us this before?
Seriously, why couldn't we get all we wanted, all we ever wanted before 2 episodes out, bitches? Why? Oh, so mad.
Like, I'm trying to be like, well, thank you for giving it to us finally. But also, again, this comes back to what we were talking about in the premiere. Like, why do you hate us, Scott Gimple?
And why indeed? Why did we stretch out Negan for 2 whole years, 2.5 years, or whatever it ended up being? Oh, God. Oh, okay. just breathe.
So this family fun day ends up on the steps of their house with Rick reading The Wizard of Oz to Judith. And I hope that these twins got to, like, split up the fun scenes between them.
I know.
Because whoever's on the steps looks super bored with this whole reading thing. She just has like her finger in her mouth and just looking off like, cool.
She's like, I hate this story. Don't you got anything else?
So, Sonequa Martin Green's husband jogs up and Michonne slides out when she sees him just to go talk to him. And I'm surprised he's still on the show.
That's what I thought. I was like, oh, he's still here.
Right. Well, when I was in New York Comic Con, when I was at the Star Trek Discovery panel, Sneak was very excited to make the announcement that he is joining Star Trek Discovery. Right. And I was like, well, of course he is.
Yeah.
We were wondering how long that was going to take.
Yep.
I'm surprised it took this long.
Honestly, actually. That's so true.
But yeah, I was like, oh, so you, I thought you was, I wonder, like, do they, I wonder, I wonder how they schedule him. Like, is it worth it to just, because he has to be up in Toronto with her and their kid.
Yeah.
So he just comes down, like, for a week to do this 3-minute scene. Or not, I mean, it can't be a week. I mean, it has to be just, like, a couple days.
Yeah, it has to be.
I just, like, do they pay for him to come down?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure they do. But even aside from that, is it worth it? Is my... Because we know that they're not exactly generous with their funds. So, wow, Kenrick. You're a real one, man.
I mean, he made that work for us. I like Scott.
No, I do too. Like,
I kind of wish he could stay on the show, but I get that it doesn't make any sense if he's not really around.
No, I like him too. I just think it's interesting. Yeah, because I can't imagine. It's like, is it really? How much really do you make on that? I can't. Cool. I mean, I hope it's good. I hope it's good.
Right.
It should be. But I don't have a lot of
faith. It also seems like they could just find somebody else.
Yeah.
It's been a year and a half. I'm sure some people moved in Alexandria since we last saw.
I'm sure.
But yeah. Rick looks at them. He sees, like, the urgency of them talking, and he leaves Judith to look at the pictures while he joins them to get up to speed. And he comes in time to hear that Justin turned up, not only dead, but actually murdered. And when Rick hears this, he's, like, super frustrated. with this turn of events, and Michonne reaches over to unball his fist because he's like I said, he's frustrated, and so she slides her hand over and makes him hold her hand, and I was like, oh
yeah, and that was a beautiful handhold.
Yeah, it was sweet. Like I just oh gosh, they just know each other so well. Like
every motion between them, it is so impactful. You know, like just the way they intertwine their fingers. I'm like, I don't know, man. It got me.
Yeah. I love that they hold hands, mm-hmm. actually. They hold hands a lot, and they hold hands in, like, times of, like, uncertainty, because they were holding hands when they walked up to Alexandria in the mid-season finale of, mm-hmm. not Alexandria, Hilltop, mm-hmm. mid-season finale of Seven, and holding hands now, and I just think that's so sweet that they can just be a comfort to each other like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it.
And that was the end of the episode. Yep. No, I'm with you. I think it's such a symbolic thing, too, for them, the holding of the hands. It's just very unified.
That's how they started.
I know. It's wonderful.
Back at the campsite, there is like mass pandemonium going on with Jed throwing out accusations that they're all just going to end up executed like Justin. And Haircut is like, this is why we need guns. Arat, Barcode, they try to break it up. And then Jersey Shore comes in, tries to bridge the communities. And Jed punches him in the face for his effort. And I was like, you know what, Jed?
I was fine with
I'll give you a tomato for that.
I know. You can have as many tomatoes as you want. You can just shut him the fuck up. Who made you the king of anything, Jersey Shore? Why are you out here trying to, I don't know, play diplomat? Like, what are you even doing?
Exactly.
Who gave you any authority at all?
Like, you don't even go here. Like, he doesn't go
to
Hilltop. He doesn't go to Sanctuary. What? Nobody wants you here.
No, Sanctuary definitely has cut him off. They're like, oh, no, you one of them now. It's like, no, he's not. We don't claim him either. So,
right.
I don't know.
He's just here. Mm. So, Carol finally breaks it up with her hand on her gun holster. And Jed's like, what are you waiting for? And then all the members of the armed community start to unholster their guns because they've been ready. They're like, give me a reason.
That's right.
To shoot everybody. So, Daryl is randomly in the back. Standing up on a tree trunk, and he's like, no guns. And Saviors are like, why don't you want us to have guns? Is that so you can finish what you started? Did you do this? And someone's like, no, I think it's garbage lady.
Which I laughed so hard. I was like, I'm so glad somebody else calls her that. I'm so glad.
As they should. I don't understand how you can shake that reputation. You lived in a junkyard.
Well, yeah. What? And she's all like, went on The Office when Toby tried to change his name to Tony or whatever, except this is worse. It's like, oh, my name is Janice. Oh, okay, JK, JK. It's Anne now. What?
Right.
Okay. Sure, Jan.
Wait, are you thinking about Toby? Did Toby try to change?
I can't remember if it was when the new people came. But like it was when the girl came, the redhead, and he introduced himself as Tony, and then he tried to act like it was not that, like, oh, I misspoke, but he really was definitely trying to say his name was Tony. But also, Ed Helms did the same thing.
Yeah, that's the only thing I'm thinking of, like, when he came back from anger
management. Call me Drew. No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. That's what everybody else should have done about this. Oh, my name's Anne. No, your name is Jadis, garbage lady. Right. That's it. Sorry.
Oh, so yeah, the Saviors are like, well, maybe it's both of them. And Barcode and a rat. They continue to try to de-escalate the situation, but it takes Rick riding up on his horse to break the whole thing up. And Rick's like, hey, everybody, quit this shit. Start working the grid. And then everybody just does it because it's Rick.
That's right. I do whatever he told me to.
Especially on a horse.
I mean, so, yeah, I'm down.
So after that, he takes a moment to talk to Gabe about Jadis and wants to know if he knows where she was last night. And he's like, he lies and says that she was on watch with him the entire night. And Rick's like, well, keep an eye on her because if people think she did it, who knows what might happen. And he wants someone around that he can trust. And I was like, betrayal, Gabriel, betrayal. Mm-hmm. How dare you lie to Rick? Like, Rick came to find your ass when you got kidnapped.
I know.
He rescued you. He was your hero. Also, I love that. Rick's like, well, you know, I don't want her to be a target. So I was like, that's so nice.
She doesn't deserve it.
She doesn't deserve it, but that's who Rick is.
I know.
Like, and I'm just like,
and all these people out here backstabbing him.
I know.
Oh, it just, I'm just.
I think what really got me was a preview next week for next week. And I was like, I want to come in this show and I want to kill everybody who is trying to set him up.
I need to see this preview.
Yeah, it has my favorite friend from Oceanside, Cycle Rachel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So after that, Jersey asks Rick if he's reconsidered his gun request, and Maggie overhears this and is like, try again. Rick compromises just a little, saying that if they find out who killed Justin and why, then maybe they can revisit. And once Jersey walks away, Rick admits he doesn't like this idea at all. But since the Saviors make up the majority of the people in the workforce, building the bridge for everyone, they should try to keep them safe, right? And Maggie, like, reluctantly agrees.
Huh. What? No, this just, that checks out. She's like, I don't care. Kill them all.
No, she doesn't. No, she doesn't.
Except for Jersey. She's going to fight for that one for some reason.
Yeah, I don't understand. God. So Gabriel finds Jadis in the break room. He admits that he lied to Rick about where she was last night and asks if she saw anything out there. And Jadis looks a little disappointed that Rick directly asked about her. But she also won't answer Gabriel's questions about whether or not she saw anything. She also looks like she's heading off for more than just... Like, she's like, packing a canteen and yeah. stuff. She thinks she's leaving. So, now we have a conversation with Rick and Daryl. Rick has been eyeing Daryl since he arrived, basically. And he finally gets a moment alone with him. And Officer Rick kind of goes detective on Daryl. He's like, I noticed that Justin's puncture wound. Well, first, they just sit there in silence, actually. And I just do want to point that out. They sit there in silence. Until Daryl finally tells Rick to just ask. And then Rick's like, I noticed Justin's puncture wound looked like an arrow or a bolt. So, and Daryl flat out asks Rick if he thinks he did it. And Rick's like, I don't, but the others do, so I have to ask. Daryl's like, well, if I'm gonna kill somebody, I'm gonna just do it in front of everybody. I don't care.
That did make me laugh last night. I was tweeting about that. I was like, I'm going to carve my initials in that some bitch. You'll know it.
Right. It's like, that checks out.
I mean, yeah, it does.
And then Daryl says that this whole situation was bound to happen, bringing all of these people together like this. And he asked Rick if Rick even thinks about what all of these communities would do if they could, you know, what... basically to the Saviors, to Negan, you know, this is not a happy experience for them. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it because Rick's making them. Mm-hmm. And Rick says, you know, he does think about it, but the future is not just this for a select group, according to him. It's for everyone. And Daryl's like, well, except for Glenn and Abraham and Sasha, you know, they don't get that future. I was like, first of all, Daryl, Glenn was your fault.
That's exactly right.
Like, let's not get crazy.
Let's don't get it twisted.
And forget that. And I was like, also, you were the one that made the assassins deal for a cow. So maybe this whole thing is your fault.
Yep. That's right.
You might want to shut up, Daryl.
He definitely should shut up.
So Rick then pleads with Daryl to just try. And in trying, let people see that he is trying. And this is something that is actually achievable. And it may be the best thing he's ever done. Like not killing a guy who left his brother on the rooftop to die.
That one hit me in the feels.
I was like, what did T-Dog do to be brought into this?
Well,
like, T-Dog's the one that left your brother. No, I get it. But I was also just like, didn't T-Dog? Okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, that one hit me. I was like,
yeah. And it got Daryl, kind of.
Well, you know, as much as it can get him.
Yeah. But this was actually an amazing talk between the two. Mm-hmm. One in which Daryl does not provide any counter to anything Rick says. I just want to point out. But I feel like the true resolution, maybe it's just somewhere in the middle. Because I do think that people emulate by example.
Mm-hmm.
And Daryl's example is horrible.
Yes.
Like, I feel like he doesn't even try. No. I don't think.
No, I would agree.
Like, this is just how he acts. And it's just, and I really kind of love that Rick was like, can you please just try? This is why I want you to try. Just, you know, because I feel like you can't write it off without actually giving it a go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Rick puts too much people, I mean, puts too much trust in, I don't know. I said this last season when Daryl drove that truck into the sanctuary. It's like, what do you do with this wild card? Like,
mm-hmm.
Rick loves him and they call each other brothers, but it's just like, whatever, Daryl can't function in leadership.
No, he has no business ever being in leadership. I don't even trust him in middle management.
And so, like, what do you do with that? Like, I feel like Daryl wants to help Rick because he does love him,
mm-hmm.
but he also just can't act right either.
I mean, you got to get your shit together, man.
Or maybe we need to stop asking Daryl to do things.
Right. But I'm just saying, if he truly wants to help or actually be a leader, then you have to act like a fucking leader, dude.
Yeah.
You got to do it. This isn't. Yeah. No. Mm-mm.
I just wonder, I mean, are either one of them going to be able to, like, learn that? Well, I mean, whatever. Whatever's happening with Rick, we only got two episodes. But it's just like, how many years is you have to see that Daryl's just not doing this before you stop asking him to, because right. you know he's going to do it. Also, how many times do you see that you just don't act right before you're just like, Rick, this isn't really me. I don't know if I can help you out.
Yeah. I'm not your guy.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's too bad.
That just gave me such a sad feeling. I don't know why.
Yeah. But yeah, that was I even liked Norman's performance.
I did too.
In that. I want to say something
Uh-oh.
Very controversial. Very controversial.
Oh no.
In my own mind, I can't believe it. I was like, what is wrong with me? I thought that Norman was kind of just, I just want to emphasize it was just the briefest, fleeting second. Flashed across my mind. Okay. Yes. And I was just like, the way they had him framed in some of that, I was like, oh, he's kind of a handsome guy.
Whoa! Excuse me, has Invasion of the Body Snatchers happened? Who is this? Who are you? What have you done with my best friend? I don't believe it.
That's what I was saying. Uh-uh. I was like, let's please.
Oh, shit. Please. This is huge.
It was just in that scene.
Okay.
And I don't know if it was just the radiance of Andy on him. I don't know. Whatever. And it was just like, I mean, he still had the weird scraggly goatee and stuff. That's not great. But there was just, like I said, the briefest of seconds, I was like, oh, so yeah.
Hey, I can't be mad. I kind of got that vibe last episode with the V for Vendetta move. I was like, oh yeah, all right, give me some of that. So I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe there's something about the magic of what's happening, and like maybe we're just going crazy. Maybe we're just delirious. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's Norma's new money. Maybe that's, I'm out here like, I see the 20 million.
Yeah. Like, for 20 million, I'm okay with that. You know?
God. Yeah. I mean, it didn't happen again. Thank God. Ooh,
I'd be worried.
Yeah, right there.
I'd be like, all right, now we need to have a talk. Cheryl's been like putting a spell on us, like a voodoo doll or something.
Oh, so a little later, they are doing their grid duty. Jerry is 1, Daryl is 2, Rick is 3, Maggie and Cindy are 4, and we are with Maggie and Cindy, and Arat is 5. They all signal that their grids are clear, but then Maggie sees some walkers and calls out that there is activity. So grid 3 is headed their way, and then Rick calls in for 5 to do the same. Cindy says her group used to live around here before Oceanside, so she has a good idea of where the walkers might be going, which is an abandoned house that they're attracted to because of a loose metal, like, banging slab. So they see this. Maggie asks if Cindy is good to follow her lead, which is Maggie will get the walkers, Cindy will get the roof. So, of course, when Cindy walks along the porch, her leg falls through the wood, and the walkers in the house that were boarded up, they get riled up, and they break through, they break out. It looks like Thriller, actually. You guys are real aggressive. Are you going to start dancing?
Because it's a Thriller. Ooh, Thriller.
Just the way they just, like, punched out. I was like, oh, okay. I see your inspiration.
Oh, it's amazing.
So Maggie is a boss. I mean, I'm not going to take that from her. She kills, like, 20 walkers before grid 3 even arrives.
Yeah, she did.
I was like, that's okay. All right, Maggie. And then Daryl showed up as well. He is not grid 3. He just so I'm saying, like, you can't follow no direction.
No.
So.
No, he cannot. He does what he wants. I do what I want. I'm a nomad. I do anything I want.
Like a drifter. I was born to walk alone.
Why did I just think about that Green Day song? Like, I feel like that would be him.
What Green Day
that
song?
That was it. Walk Alone.
Oh, Boulevard Broken.
That's
Green.
It. Yeah, okay. That one. Yeah. That's like totally him. That's his theme music.
Oh, so yeah, I guess Rosita was in grid 3 with Rick because she's like, where is 5? They should have got here first. And so then we cut to Beatrice, who I assume is in grid 5 with a rot, and she's lying face down and quote unquote knocked unconscious. And Cindy gets her up. And I remember watching this, like, this is the fakest looking I just regained consciousness look ever. I was like, she's a terrible actress, whoever this is. But yeah, but now, then afterward, now I know what's going on. I'm like, oh, okay, makes sense. But I just was like, she just looked like she woke up from a nap.
Yeah.
Like, huh?
What was it?
Yeah. I guess I'm fine. What? So she says someone knocked her out and now her rod is missing.
Duh, duh, duh.
Back at the camp, Carol, Cindy, Maggie, Rick, and Jerry all huddle up in the leadership tent. They're trying to figure out how to find a rod, because if the saviors know she's missing, that'll be the last straw, and then they won't get the bridge done before the water rises. Jerry's like, so yeah, when we find this person, what happens? Will it be a Gregory or a Negan? And Rick and Maggie just like, ugh, I guess this is something.
This is a sore subject is what it is.
Yeah.
Ugh. But I kind of love the way he worded it. Like, well, y'all.
I know. I feel like that is how people would talk about it, too.
Yeah.
We better watch out. She will Gregory you. But yeah, there's no decision made right then. And Rick tells them to pair up with someone that they trust and start looking. So they do. And he and Carol pair up, which is, I don't know, it's growth. Mm-hmm. It's growth. Because I trust Carol now, too. And I didn't trust Carol for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a long time.
Yeah.
And I didn't want her around Rick either. Like, don't be right. spreading your negative vibes to Rick. He doesn't need this. But they're good. They're good again. And yeah. So Rick asks if he should even include the saviors in what they want to, what they're trying to do, how they're trying to rebuild. Which I feel like is a question that should have came up.
Oh, yeah.
A while ago.
Long time ago.
And I'm assuming it did, but I guess he's just revisiting it. Like, he's not very confident in this choice now.
Mm-hmm.
And Carol very sensibly says, you know, it's not up to me or you. They just have to want it.
Right.
And Carol admits that, you know, when everything started popping off right before he came, she just wanted to kill everybody and just end it. Before he even started.
Seems right.
And then, yeah. And then Rick also admits to wanting to kill Negan every morning when he wakes up. As soon as he wakes up, he's like, ugh, I want to kill him. But in his effort to honor all of their fallen friends and family, and this is not just since they got to Alexandria, but since the beginning, he considers building life, not taking it the way. Because every life counts now. What'd you think about every life counts now?
Sounds a lot like all life is precious to me.
Mm-hmm. And what'd you think about that?
Like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that, honestly. I mean, I get it on some level, but also I still think the saviors pretty much need to go. And I definitely think Negan needs to go.
Yeah.
I don't feel like his life counts. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like, I also felt like there was no real way to explain that.
Yeah.
It was like, this is, we're back here again. And uh-huh. I don't like it.
Uh-huh. Agree.
Because it's not true.
No, it's not true.
Like, I get what he's saying about just like, you just don't do your first impulse and just kill everybody.
Sure.
But.
Sure. But also. Again, I just think we're still working with limited resources. Just because we've come right. a long way doesn't mean we just have enough shit to keep every Tom, Dick, and Harry alive. That's a piece right. of shit. And I think that Negan should die. I think there are certain saviors that, yeah, you know what? They probably should go. I think people should have had to have paid for a certain amount of what they did. I mean, yes, like, you know, like, I mean, using Arat as an example, like, yeah, she was under, you know, under Simon's thumb or whatever. But, I mean, you still did make a certain amount of these decisions on your own, girl. So I just think, yeah, you can't just take these people and be like, okay, so you're going to be fine now. You're all rehabilitated. What? Mm-hmm. No, that's not how it works. So I don't know.
Yeah, and I get it. I get it, but I also think, you know, it's It's interesting because I get both sides, because if he's talking about setting a precedent, setting examples, you know, really showing people that, okay, everything before was a wash and we're really going to stick to that. I don't think you can be like, well, this is what you did before and I'm still holding a grudge.
Right.
And because they do have limited resources, like, and he can't be like, you're in jail or anything like that. Right. I feel like that was the only thing that he knew how to do at that point. It's just real, it's real tricky. It's just dicey. And it really seemed like we were talking about before, you know, the difference between being optimistic and being naive.
Right.
Like, the optimism is really good, but just to be like, everyone will fall in line eventually, when just because they see everybody else.
Right. That's such a flawed way to look at that.
Yeah.
It really is.
And so I'm just like, I don't know why this is what the writers came up with him, like, for him to say.
Right. As soon as the words came out of his mouth, I was like, no. No. Don't do that. Don't. No, thank you.
Right. Like, because Rick was always a realist, if not anything.
Yeah.
I mean, he definitely, he did always have that optimistic streak. It will, like, with Randall and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like, maybe we could just let him go or whatever. Yep. But at what point do you kind of course correct where you're not like you were at the beginning, mm-hmm. and you're not like you were in the middle, mm-hmm. crazy, but you meld those two.
Yep.
To make something sustainable. And it's, I just don't like how it seems like he's regressed.
100%.
And also, it was a faulty premise anyway, because this whole Carl thing was just like, really?
Oh, come on. Yeah. That whole thing.
So we see Maggie and Daryl, the Wonder Twins, they are paired up. And already, you know, it's going to be a bad time.
Because
you ever, anybody pairs up with Daryl, it's just, no, Tara will be able to tell you.
That's so true. And she's already, and Maggie's already got her revenge eyes on, so you know this is bad.
Yeah. So Daryl's like, you know, do you believe that, or are you just playing nice for Rick? And Maggie says she doesn't know, but she does know that she can't just let what happened go, especially when she sees Herschel. And Daryl's like, you ain't got to, I haven't. Okay, well, again, what is the follow through? What is not letting it go mean? And then what happens when you are done with not letting it go?
Right.
Like, that's what I'm just like, you guys are just giving no kind of, because you know you can't just run around killing everybody.
No, and also, why can't y'all have this conversation with him and, like, and really, why can't we rehash this? If you're not happy with it, like, you need to speak up, and not just to each other.
Right.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So Maggie, like I said, like at the top, she does admit, she was like, this, what Rick is doing is right for the future. She was like, it's what's best for the future. It's what's best for Herschel. And she can admit that even if Daryl can't. And they see a walker up ahead. And when Maggie kills it, Daryl pulls a bolt, I think, from it, and then announces he knows who took her rod.
Mm-hmm.
Did you expect Maggie to admit to Rick being right?
I definitely did not. No, I did not. But, I mean, she's right about that to a degree. But also, I'm like, how do we go from that to, oh, BT Dubs, I'm definitely going to go see Negan now. What?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell.
I don't know what's going on there. Like, what's your end game here, girl?
Before we get to that, we're with Jadis, and she's back at the junkyard, and it's nighttime, and She pulls a walkie out from its hiding place and uses it to radio someone. And she's using the name Jadis. She's not saying it's Anne. And she's like, I know you're here. I saw the helicopter last night. And then a man comes on and he's like, do you have an A or a B? And then she's like, did you take them? And there he's like, no, we don't have a pickup. But the deal still stands. Will you have an A or a B? And she's like, it's just me. I paid my share. And he's like, you've been compensated. She wants to know what it'll take. And he says, an A tomorrow. I was like, cool.
Yeah, that was a lot of stuff. I was like, I don't know about an A or a B, but she definitely had some D yesterday. Oh!
Speaking of, Gabriel pops up.
Oh, man.
He's followed her. And he wants to know who she was talking to. And he's indignant because he trusted her. And now he wants answers. And he puts it together that she traded people. And that's why he got captured. And what she was going to do to Rick. And probably what she was going to do to Negan. And whenever that deal with Negan was for people. And we were wondering, like, y'all got sex slaves or what?
Right.
And it's just like, no, just human trafficking, just regular human trafficking.
Yeah, just that.
So yeah, she was like, I was only doing it for like supplies for my group. And Gabriel was like, I don't know what's happening. And she's like, I can't stay here. You know, I tried. I really did try at Alexandria. But the first time everything went wrong, everybody looked at me and nobody stepped up to protect me. And I was like, womp. Are you joking?
Yeah, shut up.
Right. And like, she wants Gabriel to leave with her. She's like, come with me right now. We can get transported to a world beyond our imagination. The only thing is, you can't tell anybody. Also, you got to help me with one small part of the deal. And he's like, I don't know. You know, as much as I love that BJ, I can't do it. I got to tell Rick. And then she like sneers at him and she's like, all this time I thought you were a B. And then she knocks him out.
What the hell?
And yeah. And like, I actually kind of liked this because I feel like this was an allusion to the Whisperers, and if you could not know anything about the Whisperers and be kind of intrigued, you can know like two things about the Whisperers like me.
Uh-huh.
And be like, oh, okay, I think I know what's going on.
Right.
Or you can know all about the Whisperers and be like, I definitely know what's happening.
Right.
But yeah, that was that AB conversation. I was like, oh, okay.
I just wanted to see my way out.
I got
of
it.
That's all.
I know. I was like, I got it. I got it now. So, yeah. Do you think this is also going to, this may have something to do with what happens to Rick?
That's definitely possible. Yeah. And I mean, it just makes me mad that I don't see how there's any way that his death or whatever, his whatever, is not directly related to one of these bitches that is betraying him. And I'm angry. Like, after all he's done for all of you ungrateful assholes, I'm just,
I killed my best friend for you people.
I feel like I'm going to end up breaking out my wrestler alter ego before it's over with. So I'm just going to shut up now.
Carol and Rick are still looking for a rot into the night when they get ambushed by Jed and some other rando. Carol gets taken and Jed has his knife at her throat. Jed denies that they're the ones killing the others. They just want guns so they can get the hell out of there. During this back and forth, Carol pulls a knife out of her sleeve, literally. And she ends up maneuvering his knife away from him, stabbing him in the shoulder. And Rick's like, walk it off. You'll be fine. We'll stitch you up at camp. And Jed's like, why don't you just take me out right now? And Carol repeats this because every life counts. Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't like him. Like it. Yeah, I mean, does his life count? I mean, I feel like there's some gray area.
I just feel like, you know, I don't not subscribe to rehabilitation, sure, sure. But what are y'all doing to rehabilitate people? Like, it's just
right. Nothing. Besides blindly trusting them, which is literally what you're doing. I mean, no, you're not giving them weapons necessarily, but that doesn't mean that they can't end up finding them from somewhere else.
Right. Also, they have access.
Exactly.
They still have tools that they can use to kill you. They just don't have guns. Ugh. Maggie and Daryl, they make their way back to the place from the beginning of the episode. Daryl has clearly told Maggie his theory that it's the Oceanside Group, and Maggie has led them there, suspecting that they would take their victims back to where they lived before because it's what she would do. They come across the missing gas, which I'm like, were they going to give the gas back? Was Oceanside going to get the gas back? They just stole y'all's gas.
There's that too.
Like, I don't trust these bitches. Like, it's one thing to be out here taking, just being vigilantes and murdering people in the night, but they also stole your supplies.
That's so true. And what were they going to do with that?
Right. Because all you had to do was be like, oh, we found the gas or whatever, right. Or just leave it somewhere, but y'all definitely just had it with y'all. So they hear Cindy telling somebody to beg, and they follow the voice, and they see it's that the Oceanside women have a rot on her knees. And when Maggie and Daryl approach, Arat begs Daryl to intercede, but he's like, hold on, hold on. What you do? And she's, you know, Cindy's like, she was a part of the whole massacre of my group. And Arat's like, I've changed, you know, we're different people now, guys. And, Maggie's like, we're going to find out what you did, what you're doing. And Cindy's like, this is the last one. We're done. And Maggie's like, you're done, but it won't be over. It never is. Mm-hmm. And then Cindy explains that the Oceanside fought, like joined in with Rick and him because they couldn't forget what the saviors did to them. And then they only followed Rick's rules because they thought there was no other way. Until Maggie killed Gregory, and then they saw that Rick's rules weren't the only ones. So now they're like, justice is ours.
Here we go with the domino effect.
Right. And Arat continues to beg for her life. But Cindy is not here for it. She's like, you know, tell them what you told me when I begged for my brother's life. And Arat's like, I don't remember. And then finally, Maggie's like, what did you say? And Rot admits that she said no exceptions. And that, for some reason, they can't handle that. And well, then Maggie.
There's a reason why. Because why? That's what Negan said. Remember? No exceptions when he killed Glenn.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's why it hit him so hard. Because that's what he said with Glenn.
Okay. Well, also, all right. Yep,
that was it.
Because again, I'm just like, Daryl.
Daryl's just.
You should have listened.
It was still Daryl's fault. Yeah. Like,
I know.
The, yeah, no. So on that note, it's like, so get down on your knees, Daryl. It's time for a reckoning.
Okay. Yeah, I totally didn't remember that. Okay. Well, that makes more sense. Yeah. It makes a lot more sense. And yet. I guess. So yeah, they're done and they walk away while Cindy kills Arat.
Yeah, man.
What'd you think about that scene?
I mean, as far as the acting was just so on point. I loved Elizabeth and I loved Sydney Park. I just thought, wow, they were incredible. But also, again, like you said, I don't like what they're doing to Rick. Not a fan. Not a fan.
Yeah, it's all the secret shit. Mm-hmm. Like whatever. If you gonna do it, just do it. Like say it with your chest and say it to his face.
Exactly. Agreed.
They don't.
No, no, they do not.
Because the next day, the Saviors is like, Arat's gone, we're out of here too. And they all walk off the project while Rick watches. And again, like, they just knew so well. This, I mean, it was just the wrong two people.
Well, anybody you put with Daryl is just a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's like they knew so much was at stake and they're like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I guess it makes sense. I mean, they never dealt with it.
Nope.
It just makes me angry.
Yep. Definitely.
And again, it's not like, okay, so they let that happen or whatever. It's the fact that they're not telling Rick. Like, hey, something happened. You should know. But no, they agree that they gave Rick's way a chance, but now it's time to see Negan. And I was like, did you give Rick's way a chance? When was that?
I don't know. Was that for the 18 months? Is that what was going on? Because I'm not really sure.
I don't know, but I also know that Rick's way includes a common law.
Includes this charter governing that has not been made yet. So y'all need to sit your asses down.
I know that. And so I'm just like, again, just not even trying. So yeah, they are off to find Negan or something.
Oh God. And I don't even know what I think is going to happen with that. Like, I feel like, I mean, obviously, I don't think she's going to kill him. I don't know if that's going to be her realization that she doesn't really want to do that. Or maybe she doesn't actually intend to kill him. I don't really know what to think with her right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you think?
Do I think she intends to kill Negan? I do.
Okay.
Think she intends it. I don't know how she's gonna get through Alexandria. Like, that's what's like, are you it's just like a jailbreak. Like, I don't know what's happening.
Well, to be fair, I didn't see a lot of people just milling around Alexandria, so who knows.
That's true. And she's known there. They're just gonna let her in. It's Maggie. So I do, and I think it's crappy.
Yep.
Again, you're not going to talk to nobody.
I feel like this is going to end with her having some big, like, epiphany about not killing him and not doing that, and it's not the right way, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, after she gets Rick killed.
Yep. Like, that's exactly right. Oh, God.
And then she's going to fly off with Georgie wherever there is and just think about what she's done.
Well, she just needs to make sure she takes Jersey with her, so just take him with you, because I don't want to have to watch him for the rest of this time.
Right.
Two more episodes. Okay. I'm fine. I'm not fine. I'm not fine at all.
I know.
Terrible. It's just too real. I don't know. I feel like after next week's episode, I'm probably going to have a little meltdown because I'm not ready. I'm not prepared. I feel like my heart's like beating really fast right now. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Let's jump into some feedback. Maybe I can calm that.
All right.
First one is coming to us from Pascali. She says, hey, ladies, I'm honestly not sure why they took such an exciting and happy episode and then smacked us with the news that it's Rick's final two episodes. Pascali, why are you going to do me like this? This is truly surreal to me. Who's going to lead? Daryl? Maggie? Michonne? I'm sorry. No one will ever be able to fill those shoes. And those storylines are going to have to be airtight and well-developed, which is not the norm with The Walking Dead. Maybe all the hype around Rick's final season was to boost ratings, or maybe Andy has a movie he has to go film, but this is so awkward to announce right at the end of the episode. Why not just let him be in the entire season for a proper send-off? The Rishome moments are awesome. They really made my heart melt, and they are hinting at trying to make a baby, which is mind-blowing if it happens. This may potentially cause me to watch after Rick is written off the show, but it's a big if. Honestly, they're giving us this whole world and then taking it away. What the fuck, man? I'm done. Please someone talk to AMC management.
Well, if to address that earlier thing, I 100% believe that, you know, this is Andy's choice.
It is.
So Andy didn't want to be on here for the whole season.
Right.
And so I don't know why, but it wasn't like he was like, guys, can I stay for a little bit? And they were like, no. So I don't know why, but I mean, I do think it's awkward to be like his final two. I thought that was weird.
Yeah.
But once the actual story got leaked, there was no way to like not address that.
It's true. And I mean, so, like they know that they're fighting up against, you know, things like the spoiling dead. And so,
right.
You know, I mean, they kind of have to, they have to do something about it.
Right.
Since they haven't been able to shut him down.
No. And clearly we'll never be
able
to.
Nope, ain't happening.
But, yeah, I honestly, when Andy, well, not Andy, when, when Rick and Michonne were talking in this episode, he was very like, you're leading Alexandria. It's you, only you. So it better be her
right.
continuing to lead, especially since she was so closely aligned and intimate with their vision together.
Right. No, I absolutely agree with that. And I mean, I don't also don't even feel like Daryl lives here anymore.
Right. So, I don't even know where he lives.
He lives at Hilltop. I have decided. He's been moved. You have been evicted from Alexandria, sir.
Fine with me. Traitor ass.
That's right. With his traitor, revenge, vengeful, squirrel-eating ass.
But yeah, it is sad.
Our next one comes from Miss Netta Bear. She says, hi, y'all. Just some thoughts from The Walking Dead. Is it bad that I don't care what happens to Jadis or Gabriel? No. Get why Daryl is mad about working with the Saviors and all, but this is like dealing with an angry teenager. Just take away his phone and Game Boy and send him to his room already. With that said, Daryl is raising some good points. Rick can't think he's the only person who feels this way. Even Michonne has to see that Maggie is on the same page as Daryl. They should have created a council months ago. I was seriously shook when Maggie and Daryl walked away from Arat. I guess I expected them to actually heed Rick's words. I mean, Maggie just said that what Rick was doing was best for Herschel. I just don't see things getting any better with this revenge mentality. I know why they walked away. No exceptions. The last two words Negan said before killing Glenn. But again, building a better world for Herschel. And like Jerry said, who gets to make that decision? Michonne needs to finish that charter ASAP. I know we're trying to build a better world and all, but the Saviors clearly don't want anything to do with it. Rick should let them go and let them fend for themselves. I don't know what it's going to take, y'all. This Savior stuff's frustrating to watch. And at the same time, I feel like this is the best storytelling we've got in a long time. I'll leave on a lighter note. The Grimes family day was the best part of the entire series. We don't ever get to see the lighter moments with the families. Those moments are a part of life, so we should see more. I think the last time I saw Rick smile like that was before the war, the night he hooked up with Michonne. I miss that smile. Not looking forward to the next two episodes. Well, I am, but I'm not going to like it. Until next week, Netta Bear.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they definitely should have created these rules months ago. Again, the problem with the time jump, but also like we said, the use your big boy words, use your big girl words and talk if you have a problem.
Absolutely. I can't believe we haven't gotten to the point where we can do that yet.
Right. And then like the Saviors, I think it's so okay because it's so hard to figure out who is fine and who is asshole. Well, it's probably not that hard,
right?
But like, I don't think we want to write them all off because you got, bless you, Rick Grimes.
For sure. No, I totally agree with that. But I think there has to have been some kind of like a, there should have been some kind of a vetting process and like maybe a, like a trial period kind of thing to see who really wanted to do this. Like people like that guy. Absolutely. That's great. But then there would be some people that, you know, you maybe you wouldn't necessarily kill them. But, you know, again, rehabilitation. You can't just throw these people out there into, you know, Gen Pop and be like, oh, everybody's fine. What? No, you can't do that. You can't just throw the arsonists in with the murderers and the, I mean, it just isn't going to work.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. A lot of bad decisions here. I don't know. Our next one comes from Keon, and she says, did I love the Grimes Family Fun Day? Yes. Do I want Rick and Michonne to go half on a baby? Yes. Is Judith the cutest? Yes. I like all of this. But this is all with a bit of a bitter taste because they finally give us what we have deserved and wanted for so long to rip it away from us. And this I hate so much. It's going to hurt so bad, y'all. And we have to worry how Michonne is going to deal with the aftermath. Oh, God, I can't. I guess I'm getting ahead of things and should just focus on the here and now. So I will soak in all this Grimes family love, minus the lovemaking. Where are our steamy Michonne scenes? Where are they? Time is running out. So apparently there was stuff after Michonne? I didn't see that. I don't know. It was okay, but as it has been pointed out before, what's happening makes no sense 19 months in. So you have 19 months of peace-ish times, and now some people are just going to flush it all away. To go back to what, though? Back to fighting with the saviors? Back to war times? This can't be what they want if they stop to think for just 1 second past their nose. Outside of one-off conversations and Daryl's complaints, what real conversations have they had together? Like an actual sit down with all the communities and say, no, Rick, we don't agree. We want to have these people put on trial with a death sentence on the table. Has anyone asked Michonne to put that in the charter? I know rebuilding a civilization is hard, but without anyone talking to each other to come to an agreement ain't gonna happen. So this storyline is one I don't mind and could be interesting. I just wish it was done smarter. Oceanside exacting revenge, but in a way to restart hostile living circumstances. You letting them see that these people were killed. Just leaving them to turn and show up around the camp. Where is the gas from the other group? How do they expect to be treated after this? Should they get a pass for premeditated murder? Will they finally be able to go home and never come back out of hiding? More notes for the charter. And the saviors walking off the job to what end? They don't have food, they don't have guns, they don't have their system of robbing and enslaving people, so what are they going to do now? So Maggie says that Rick's way is a better way for the future and her kid, but she walks off with Daryl to do something dumb? If this is what leads to Rick's death, I'm going to be angry. Two more episodes and we lose Rick, the Rick and our Michonne, the man who initially made us watch this damn zombie show in the first place, internally screaming. P.S. This is my final warning to The Walking Dead. If I don't get the baby I'm owed, there will be hell to pay. Until next time. By the way, speaking of Miss Keon, we have not had any Kenneth feedback. Where's Kenneth? Did we ban him? What? Kenneth, where are you at? I feel like, you know, this is our final season. You haven't written us once, and we're already 3 episodes in. I'm a little offended. My feelings are hurt. Just want you to know that.
He's probably got in trouble for sending him crazy emails. Yeah, she's right about just this whole thing should have been done smarter. This rebuild of civilization. It's so right.
100%.
And Xavier's walking off the job. Like, I get that. I get what she's saying. Mm-hmm. But also, if everybody's dying, I kind of get what they do, too. Like, so.
No, totally. Because they don't know who's doing it and what's going on with that. Yeah, no, I totally agree with that.
Way to go. Way to go, Maggie. No.
Shit stirs. This next one is coming from Nikki. Nikki says, hey, ladies, I think this feedback comment will be 90% Michonne gushing. Hope that's okay with y'all. That's always okay. Nikki, that's always okay. The Grimes family scenes were everything. If I want to be grumbly about it, I would say that I wish these little moments were spread out over the episodes instead of put into one big chunk during Rick Grimes' last episodes. But I digress. I loved that for a moment, Grimes Family 2.5 and the rest of us got to get away from the post-apocalyptic world for a moment and just revel in what could be. Daddy Rick is the best, and him sliding into the bedroom, slipping off his boots, flicking that pencil across the room, and slyly suggesting that he and Michonne make a baby on the spot is quality ass television. In
quality.
In other
quality content.
That is what we did sign up for. In other non-Grimes related news, I really enjoyed the reveal that Oceanside was taking out the last of the gnarliest saviors as revenge. I understand Maggie and Daryl's point of view, but do they really think the word would never have gotten out that Oceanside killed saviors? Those two have a lot of feelings and opinions, but do they have any solutions? And can we talk about Gabriel and the artist formerly known as Jadis? All it took was for her to go down on him once, and he was out here lying to his homie Rick on her behalf. I call bullshit. I have a feeling that Garbage Ann is going to have something to do with whatever happens to Rick. Can't wait to hear the podcast.
That's what I'm like, man, was it that good? Has it been that long, Gabriel?
I mean, jeez, probably.
I guess, yeah.
Ugh, I'm so bad. It just better not. It's okay. Let's see. Our next one's coming from Kiosha. She says, "Hey, ladies. First things first, please excuse this mess of an email. I'm furiously typing in the space between meetings at work. So, last night's episode, full disclaimer, I didn't watch the whole thing. I really can't bring myself to care about any of the characters on this show other than Rishon and Judith. Sure, Sadiq is honestly a pleasure to look at, and baby Herschel is so cute, but I just can't. Anyway, on to the whole season, a whole reason I wrote this email. Rishon, Lord have mercy, Andrew Lincoln deserves all the awards for the looks that he was giving in that scene in Rick and Michonne's bedroom. I mean, the amount of sweet, loving adoration that was pouring out of every muscle on that man's face was just, gah, there are no words. I love that Rick is always thanking Michonne. He's fully clear on the fact that if she hadn't come into his life, there is a strong possibility that he'd be dead and the present that they all live in now would be drastically different. Okay. On another note, the scene where they took Judy to see Sadiq for her cough, too cute for words. That's the side eye that child displayed in the extra scene was legendary. She learned that from her mama Michonne. I'm just so happy that we're getting these moments with our faves, but I'm also so terrified that I'm going to be completely inconsolable when it comes time for Rick to go. And then AMC decides to conveniently remind us that there are only two more Rick episodes. WTF, let me live in the bliss of this Rishon high life for a while. Side note, why do I have a sneaking suspicion that Rick's not going to die at all? I wouldn't put it past AMC to just have him kidnapped or something for a season and then bring him back for no reason at a later date. Keep doing the Lord's work, ladies. You guys are really the only thing that keeps me watching the show at all. Without this podcast, I'd just catch the Rishon goodies on Tumblr. Love you guys. Aw, thanks, Kiosha. That's amazing.
That still might be the best way to go. But I have thought for a while, or maybe I just hoped, maybe I'm just in a state of denial. I was like, he's going to come back at the end of the season. Like, and then take Michonne to Judith with him wherever he was.
I mean,
that's what I was just like.
Is it weird that I still kind of have that hope? Should I not? So I don't know. I've really tried to not read as much about what may happen or whatever, because it's just really gonna cloud my judgment on it, and I want to be able to have a real reaction to this moment. I feel like it deserves that weight. And I definitely still have that hope that, like, oh, I know that what they're saying, but that don't mean that he can't have a cameo. It doesn't mean that is not a possibility. Please don't take that away from me. Oh my God.
I know. That's where I am. I can't fathom the idea of Rick dying.
I really can't either. Can't.
But it has to be something crazy for him to not be for him to be split from his family that we just saw. He is so right. In love with his family, and I'm like, what? So maybe he's dying. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he would do this to me.
I'm just so angry at how all this happened. Because if they had just paced out this stupid Negan shit the way they should have to begin with, they could have actually ended the series with him and it have all been wrapped up so beautifully, and they fucked all that up. Here we go. Yep. Okay. I'm fine. Our next one comes from Sarah. She says, I'm finally getting my feedback in on time. I just want to say that I have really liked the season as a whole so far. As for last night's episode, the Grimes Family Fun Day was tough to watch because we know it'll probably be the last one. Oh, God. Y'all are killing me. I couldn't even enjoy it. And I guess we're going to get that Rishon baby after all. But I don't want it, especially since Rick won't be around. And yes, I know I'm probably the only person to feel this. It's time for all the saviors to go. When Jed called Maggie the widow, wannabe Glenn should have shot him in the face. Most of those people won't or can't change. This has been my issue with Rick this season. The post-war utopia he wants is not feasible, and his insistence on it is a drag. Everything Daryl is saying is true. Why do the saviors get to have a place in the new world, but Glenn, Abraham, Sasha, et al. Don't? And I'm glad Angela Kang is giving him a voice again. I love how it was Cindy and Oceanside getting their sneaky revenge. Her recount of what Simon's group did to them was tough. I can't wait to see what Maggie does at Alexandria, even though I know Negan won't die. Jada San, what are you doing? I think this is how they're going to bring the Whisperers in. The A's and B's could be for Alpha and Beta. Poor dumb Gabriel. I am not ready for the end of Rick Grimes, but I'm thankful for the TDC pod family. At least we all have each other. Hopefully I didn't ramble too much. No. Oh, you guys are getting me. I'm just feeling all emotional.
The thing that makes me be like, maybe we won't get a Rishon baby is because it is a retread of what happened with Glenn and Maggie, mm-hmm. like almost exactly. And I get not wanting the baby because Rick won't be around, but that's exactly why I do want
exactly
the baby.
No, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm just like, but I want another baby. I want Rick to live, continue to live. Much of what Daryl is saying is true, and also much of what Rick is saying is true. So it's just kind of like, what are you willing to fight for? What are you willing to like really stand in and believe Absolutely. In? And if it's just like giving up on people, then yeah. And like we said before, there are many of these people that do need to be given up on, but Daryl's not even trying. So
no, he's not. Yeah. It has occurred to me, by the way, like I'm just trying to focus on all the good things here, but what if what if Michonne's already pregnant?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I kind of have thought about that. Maybe she's already pregnant and she's going to tell him and it's going to be okay.
Cause it's like the timing of them wanting a baby, like a year and a half, like I said, that makes mm-hmm. sense. But also, how have y'all not been pregnant?
Right.
Because y'all do it a lot.
Yes. I mean, his pullout game's got to be real strong. Real strong.
But even then, still. I'm just like, it's just a lot. Yeah. I just feel like that's not realistic.
I don't either. I don't think it is either. And so I'm definitely wondering, maybe she already is. And I don't know if like it's super new and she just doesn't know yet, or she's kind of like wanting to make sure, you know, like, so mm-hmm. I'm rooting for that. I hope it's not going to be like, I hope it's not going to be one of those things where, okay, so let's say she's not, and then in a few weeks we find out after whatever happens to Rick that she's shut up. I can't even think about it. I can't even go there. Okay, I'm not gonna. Next one comes from Erica. She says, hey, ladies. Wow, this season so far has exceeded all of my expectations, and every week I can't wait to listen to your take on the episode. Last week almost cost me my job. I was a giggling fool at my desk, commenting out loud as if we're all in the same room. I'm really going to miss this podcast, you guys. I do have things that have been bugging me this season. Why hasn't the legendary Rick Grimes been able to get a new pair of jeans, and how are they staring together?
Those things are terrible.
I personally wear them out in a year due to thigh rub and tattering at the edges from normal wear a couple times a week. He's building things, fighting walkers, and riding horses. They should be decimated by now. Next issue, all these people with fresh lineups, kept pixie cuts, and hair colored with no roots, and no one can figure out how to retwist Michonne's locks. She is the first lady, and she shouldn't be looking like that. They film in Atlanta, probably the black hair capital of the world, and they can't find someone to make a decent wig? Sure, AMC. Third, what does Judith call Michonne? Have I missed something? I guess I shouldn't be shocked, because she doesn't seem to have a last name either. Okay, I know it's Grimes, but we don't know what it was before. This episode answered another question about why everyone was all forgive and forget. Turns out Oceanside was just waiting for the right moment to get their revenge. I'm guessing Enid got a pass.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, you two not going to come after
Enid? Guess not. Guess not. They didn't really like Grandma either, truth be told. Yeah. I wasn't surprised that Maggie and Daryl let it go, but that walk away as a rot was begging for her life was cold. So who is Jadis / Anne? So she's a botanist professor that may have worked part-time as a police sketch artist. After the turn, she forms a trash heap art colony or cult with a weird language that dabbles in human trafficking. It's a lot. I don't trust and just want her gone because nothing she's involved in can be good. The best parts of this episode, of course, were scenes with Grimes' family. Rick and Michonne with Judith. I just can't. And the talk about babies would have me more excited if I didn't know that Rick only has a couple of episodes left. Thanks, AMC, for reminding us at every chance you get. Overall, I'm happy with this season. I just wish the showrunners could have been switched up last season to give Andy more time with some quality content. But I'm thankful for these few episodes we are getting. Need to get back to work, but looking forward to hearing all the feedback. Yeah, man.
Judith better call Michonne mom.
Yeah. I just assume that she will. She just doesn't say a lot yet.
Yeah. She paints her. All I know, she paints with hearts dripping.
I know.
That's all I've heard her say.
So sweet.
I love that everyone has the same reaction to Michonne's wig. I just brought back to Bim's epic rant.
Yes. Oh my god.
It is terrible. The wig's terrible, especially when you could see it when she was lying down.
Yes.
And just all that, I was like, what the hell is that?
Right? What, like, and like she said, yeah, I mean it's in Atlanta.
Danai has said that wig is very expensive.
What?
I don't know if she's lying, but she said it's an expensive wig.
I mean, I just feel like you didn't get what you paid for then. Like, you know, I mean, what? I feel like I need my money back. What? Oh, man. Okay. Our next one's coming from Mrs. G. She says, hi, ladies. Mrs. G here. I was very pleased with the episode. The Rashone and Grimes family content was everything. They are the highlight of the show for me. It was so refreshing to glimpse into a day in their life. Rick thanking Michonne for existing was the sexiest shit I ever heard. Lord, they are so good together. Andy! Alas, it's been confirmed. The love scene was cut. Surprise, sir fucking prize. Michonne still brought the fire, so suck it, AMC. That sunlit background was God personally anointing Michonne Jr.'s conception. I love her. Oh, I love her. As Michonne gazed into each other's eyes, I had a physical reaction. I got goosebumps, my stomach flipped, and I wore a big-ass Kool-Aid smile. Ugh, I love them. Oh, we're getting that baby.
That's accurate. That's so accurate. Every time I watch that, no.
Since the queen can't get a ring, the baby will be symbolic of their love and commitment to each other. I'm calling it. After the second time jump, there will be a Michonne Jr. reveal and heads will explode. On another note, I'm trying to be
Oh, there's going to be a second time jump, guys.
Huh?
I said, oh, there's going to be a second time.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah. I thought we talked about that before, but maybe we didn't. On another note, I'm trying to be sympathetic. I am. Maggie's good people and Rishon lover, but it's disheartening she still doesn't get it. She specifically says she agrees with Rishon's philosophy for Herschel's future, yet she is more determined at going out ass backwards. Her doubling down on Negan after being called out about her tactics, once in the tent by Jerry and a second time as Cindy's motivation to murder Arat, is perplexing. The referencing of her conduct clearly made her uncomfortable in both instances. I hope she finds peace before she leaves. Can Georgie come get the bitch already? Jeesh! Daryl's dumbass gassing her up isn't helping things either. They're both in timeout for a while. Now, honey, Elizabeth, Arat, and Cindy, oh my God, killed it. Their interaction was amazing to watch. The music, tears, emotion, delivery of dialogue, all of it, phenomenal. It was a breakout scene. And once again, Anne double-crossed someone, inserts, pretends to be shocked face gif. Father G's heart was in the right place, but he overestimated hers. I admire his loyalty to Rick, though. Cough, cough, Maggie, Daryl. So the gist is, Rishon got fucked by their own peeps. Again. Less labor for the bridge everyone needs for continued growth and stability. All communities are now endangered because rogue saviors have bounced and Maggie inspired more revenge killings. Then, of course, Rishon will have to do the heavy lifting and figure a way out of this mess for everyone, as usual. Can someone just build a bubble around Alexandria's safe zone and fuck everybody else? Keep up the great work, sister friends. Till next week, love ya. We love you too, Miss G.
Yeah, we didn't really talk about what Maggie said after she found out Cindy got her inspiration from Gregor.
About that she got her inspiration from Cindy.
Yeah. She loved it, in my opinion. She's like, this set me free.
Yeah, right? I kind of felt that way too.
Like, I don't think she was ashamed at all. No. I think she was like, Cindy showed me the light. Cindy showed me what I need to be doing.
It definitely seemed like an eye opener for her.
Ooh. And I don't
know. Yeah. I feel like.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, everyone said it's strange. Like, that's really weird how you just flipped so quickly. Yep. I don't even think with Jerry she was necessarily ashamed. She just didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah, she just definitely wasn't wanting to have that discussion right then. Yeah. Like, I don't want to talk about that right now. Mm-mm.
Yeah, but she out here, like, she said it, like, several times. Like, I don't care. I'm not ashamed of what I did.
No, she's not. Mm-mm. Our next one comes from Jess. She says, hey, Kia and Mel. That was a surprisingly good episode. I agree with your running criticism that this all feels like it should have happened earlier than 18 months after the war, but I'll cut Kang some slack since she's trying to play catch up here. There's real intention in her storytelling, and it creates a much more enjoyable experience as a viewer. Rishon are pretty much the best parents a girl could ask for, and they clearly love parenting together so much. Those scenes with Judith melted my heart. Fanfic writers got it so right. It was just beautiful to witness on screen finally. And if it's going to break my heart all that much more, stop this train. Also, as much as I love the Rishon scene in bed when he tentatively went to cut Michonne's face and awkwardly fumbled with the wig again, I so thought of Bim's spot on and hilarious observations on the matter from your Rishon episode. Oh, it's so epic. If you haven't listened to it, guys, please just go back to that and listen.
Yeah.
Can't wait to listen.
Go back to happier times.
Oh my God. So much happier. I might just listen to it after this, actually. Can't wait to listen to your take on this episode, Jess. Thanks, Jess. We have one more, and this one.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Mm-hmm. First of all, I got AMC Premiere. I thought I was supposed to have access to all these bonus scenes. Mm-hmm. I can't find them anywhere. Hmm. Apparently, there's an extra scene. I'm looking at it now. I'll retweet it on our Twitter. I sound super old. I'll retweet it on the Twitters. But Rick and Carol are talking about how they each found the right person.
Uh-huh.
That was a cut scene from last night. I mean, I haven't actually. I'm just watching it. I just see that it's a thing that I haven't listened to it. But I'm like, why are you cutting all this stuff out?
Why? But yet we got to listen to Jersey out here acting like he's trying to save the damn world.
I know.
Fuck that guy. I hate him. Ugh.
There's much to hate.
There's so much to hate. Are you ready for me to carry on? Okay.
Yeah.
We have one more, and this one comes to us from Dreamily Tenacious Garden. And she says, you guys just had me laughing out loud listening to Season 9, Episode 2. You know my thought about why they are allowing the saviors to walk around and integrate. Maybe they did some sort of Deanna-like videos or hang tribunals where people confess their sins and were pardoned, so to speak. If people in South Africa could hold tribunals to live together, maybe it could work. However, as we can see, it is only in theory and it only gets you so far. People are going to revert back to factions and families. That is why it hurts to think Michonne would have to be invited to stay the night at Hilltop. WTF. Maggie, where did your bed go? They are so far from when they were all on one floor in one house in Alexandria. Oh, that makes me sad.
Yeah.
That's so true. That is all of our feedback. We had a lot. Thanks, guys. Oh, all these sweet messages. Like, it's just getting me.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
I know.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah. So do you have any other thoughts before we close?
I sure don't.
All right, guys. Well, we will see you next week for episode 4. Ah!